Philadelphia, are you ready?
No, he said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe.
Dear Kobe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kobe Bean.
Kobe, thank you, man.
Dear Kobe. Thank you.
Thank you for your passion, your commitment, and dedication to basketball.
Thank you for showing us that the number 24 isn't just the number on your jersey, but the amount of hours in a day that you have to devote to the game to be the best.
Thank you for giving and giving and giving.
Thank you for pushing through when your body says no, but your heart says yes.
Thank you for the games that you refuse to lose and the ones you always seem destined to win.
Thank you for your endless drive.
For showing us that even on your worst day, there's nothing else to do but push harder.
For showing us there's no such thing as magic, but only hard work.
Thank you for playing the game the way it was meant to be played.
Thank you for teaching us to believe in ourselves,
even when nobody else did.
For 20 years, you gave our game all you had, and we are eternally grateful.
Thank you for being you, competitor supreme.
Thank you for loving the game of basketball.
Congratulations, and we're gonna keep chasing you.
What can I say? Mamba out.
Welcome to another episode of Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast. And 2 days ago, on the 25th, we lost Kobe Bryant to a helicopter accident, which has affected not only the basketball community, but the pop culture and world in general, as he was known everywhere as a great basketball player. And of course, now with the losing of his daughter with him as a father, and it's a big, big loss for anyone in general. It just doesn't have to be a basketball fan. So we just wanted to honor Kobe as one of the heroes from our childhood, and he's going to be missed very, very much.
Yeah, he transcends all sport. That was I literally heard it, and I was like, I'm waiting for them to say it was a different Kobe Bryant. Like, I was waiting, like, I'm still in shock. Like, it's one of those, like, what the fuck? Like, how? Why? Like, why?
Yeah.
Just, it is. It's a shame. But not to dwell for too long, even though it was and is, it was fucking terrible. We have some wrestling to talk about because we are, first and foremost, I said that right. I didn't think I was going to. I thought I was going to tongue twister it. First and foremost, we are a wrestling podcast, and we're going to talk about the Graps.
And on today's show.
And the Craps.
We have an interview.
Well, I don't even know if you call it that.
Well, I mean, it's still, I don't think we're still interviewing.
I know we're very professional. It's like we're the most professional fucking podcast that we've ever been placed on this planet or anything. Yeah, it didn't have that feel to it, and you will know why as soon as we turn it over.
Yeah.
Because we just get right into it. We just start shooting shit.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably gimmick infringement on one of the other millions of podcasts about wrestling that exist, but that's exactly what we did. We just fucking... Lucky 13 joins us.
Yes.
He's driving home from work.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot job. It's if we're going to call it that. And we're just shooting shit the whole time. We're basically making his ride home quicker. That's what service we provided today.
Yes.
Add that to the list of shit that we are good at.
Yeah. So,
killer of time.
Here we go. Our interview with Lucky 13.
How are you guys?
Good. Doing good. We're not driving, so we're doing pretty good. I fucking hate driving.
I do it so much, you know, with
wrestling and that's working true. So far from where I work and everything, I don't mind it.
Yeah, the whole wrestler thing, you guys kind of drive every fucking where.
Yeah, I kind of embrace road trips as it is, you know? So, yeah, driving's not bad to me.
Yeah, I guess you have to love adventure, right? Like just going new places and anywhere, like anywhere at the drop of the hat.
I think that's the best part of wrestling is going and you know, visiting places you've never seen and going places you would, you know, rather otherwise not ever go. Like I'm a big fan of traveling and going to big cities, and you know, you're not always going to the big city though. Like sometimes you're going to you know, Barnesville, Pennsylvania. Like, where the fuck is that? and then you go there and you're like, oh.
Anything that's not Philadelphia. Like, oh, anything that's not Philadelphia, I feel like it's all Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, Barnesville, I don't know if you remember, Chikara used to run out there.
Is it past Reading?
Yeah, it's past Reading, I think. I don't even remember exactly where it is. But I think it's out past Reading, like Lancaster-ish area. All
right.
But that was one of the shows they had like Okada on in front of like 22 people.
How long ago was this?
Ooh.
Over five?
Yeah, way, way, way longer ago. This is when I was wrestling for Chikara and Orange Cassidy was still there. And
okay.
They might have just formed like the Ants and stuff like that. It might have been like the first couple of shows for them. I'm trying to think.
It's probably over 10 then.
I think it was because Blackout was the show I'm thinking of. Like Blackout was on the show, like Sabian and Joker as a tag team, and the Crist brothers were on there as the Irish Airborne. Yeah, looking back like at the card, I only know this because I randomly saw like a music video pop up for it the other day. And I watched it. I was like, holy shit, look at this fucking card. Like, oh, yeah, Okada faced some fucking random dude from Canada. And like,
dude, that's insane. Like, it's crazy to think, like, that was 10 years ago. And the card that, like, do you feel like the indie talent now will hold the same water? Be like, who the hell would be, like, the Okada in 10 years?
Well, I don't know, because if you watch this match, you'd be like, man, this guy ain't going to be shit. But then again, you know, it takes two to tango, so it could have been the other guy was the absolute shits also, but I have no idea. But, no, I don't know. I think just if you stick around with it long enough, you eventually, it's like being a band. Like, sometimes bands are just so persistent. Like, and always like, oh, yeah, you know, I've heard of them, I've heard of them, I've heard of them. And then all of a sudden, you know, they get like their break or whatever. And, yeah, they get their one break or whatever, and they finally like make it big. I kind of feel like that happens sometimes in wrestling, too. Like, guys just stick with it and plug along. And, you know, one day something happens big for them and they get their break and it just, you know, snowballs and they roll with it and, you know, take the ball and run with it. And the star is born, I guess, you know? Like, who would have thought, like, Warhorse? Like, look at Warhorse. He's a great example. The guy's so over right now. And him 2 years ago, you know, he was doing this, like, completely different gimmick. Like, you know, I don't even think he was working every weekend. And then all of a sudden he was like, I got to do something different. And he's been working for a while, too, you know? And all of a sudden he, like, changed up his gimmick. And, like, overnight he was just, like, this huge success. And he, you know, the right person saw him and they liked his gimmick that he changed to. And it just... everything snowballed.
I guess because of all the streaming sites and social media, that has to help immensely.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. We were talking about like the kind of like with the Kobe death last night, talking about at work with some of my coworkers, like, has there been a death like that has like a celebrity death or like, you know, sports person that has like impacted like so many people? And that's what I said to them. I'm like you can think of, like, you know, when Roy Holiday died or Payne Stewart died or Roberto Clemente died, but, like, social media wasn't as
prevalent.
You know, there wasn't prevalent as it is now, to whereas everybody can kind of go out and, like, talk about it and, you know, you know, tell their stories about them and has their feelings and stuff. And I kind of think, yeah, wrestling's the same way, where there's just so many outlets out there right now, as opposed to, you know, even 10 years ago. And just, you know, the wrestlers are, you know, a tweet away from the fans right now, or, you know, you're a gif away from, you know, being a viral sensation or whatever, you know, which, you know, we didn't really have that 10 years ago.
No, not at all. Not as how rapid it is, too. It's so much faster. Everything just gets to you so much faster. I mean, the good and the bad, but, I mean, for the most part, if you're looking in the right places, it's mostly good.
I'm a big fan of the bad.
Like, what kind of bad? Like, bad, like, just god-awful or bad, like, cringe?
Yeah, like, god-awful. Like, if I sit down and watch wrestling, like, I'm usually, like, skimming through the matches. Like, I don't even really sit down and watch the whole matches. But if you put a match out there that's, like, fucking terrible, like, I'll sit there and watch the whole thing and be entertained. I'd be like, this is fucking great. the Alabama Doink matches, did you ever see those?
It's been a while, but yes.
Yeah, like, I fucking love Al. He did the casket match with Hendrick where he gets thrown to the outside, he powders out, and they're brawling, and he grabs a cheese sandwich and he smacks Hendrick across the face with it. And that was like the best part of the match.
So you share the same what's the taste in it's not like bad, it's like kind of funny bad.
It's like comically bad. It's comically bad.
It's bad.
Well, no, I think it's so bad it makes it funny.
Yeah. It's so bad it's good.
Yeah. That's what I'm a fan of.
Yeah, that's why I like the Repo Man so much.
I fucking love the Repo Man.
See, I know it. It's so bad it's fucking good.
Is he dead?
I don't think so.
They should have brought him back last night. Missed opportunity.
Yeah. I always want to ask the wrestlers this, like, do you still find yourself a fan of wrestling? If you were a fan growing up, do you still find yourself like getting caught
I didn't watch any of that last night, but I do see enough guys fucking, like, you know, tweet about it or Facebook about that they're, you know, watching the show or whatever. I don't know. I kind of think some of that's also like that newer mentality, like where they go out and they have like a good match and you see some guys be like, oh, just had a great match with David Starr. I just want to say thanks to David for the fucking great match on Friday night. Really loved it. Let's do it again. Like, I would never fucking do that. Just like I would never, even if I watched, let's just say, the Royal Rumble, I would never be on Twitter, you know, giving a play by play of like, oh, I can't believe fucking Edge is back, you know. But I mean, I keep up to date on what's going on, like just through social media and everything, but as far as like sitting down and watching it, like anything I really watch, I kind of, it's because I hear like, hey, you got to go check this out, and I kind of go out of my way to watch it. Or if it's just a show that I'm on.
So if you weren't a fan growing up, how did you initially get into wrestling?
Well, I was a fan growing up. But as far as, like, am I much of a fan anymore? But growing up, let's see, big Ultimate Warrior fan. And then ECW came along. And then fell in love with ECW. And that's when I met Orange Cassidy, who was also a big fan of ECW. And that's kind of like how we met. We met at soccer practice our freshman year of high school. And we were both, what were we doing? We were talking about wrestling or something, and then, you know, maybe it might have turned into me giving him a hurricanrana, like, off the bleachers at soccer practice one day. And it turned into he built a fucking ring in his backyard to us backyard wrestling and having, like, our own federation and everything to, after high school, going to, you know, school for it, and now he's where he is, and I'm driving home from work. So, worked out for one of us.
Yeah, but you got to say that you lived at your Hurricane Ron and Orange Cassidy off of the bleachers.
Yeah, I did a lot of stuff. Like, I put a hole in his parents' basement wall too on New Year's Eve. I get to say that.
So it's kind of karma catching up with you, if you want to say it that way.
With terrible karma. It's not even fair. It costs $20 to fix that sheetrock, and he's making 20 times what I am.
Speaking of which, how you, who you were trained by in your path in wrestling? You were trained by Quack and Chris Hero, correct?
Yeah, Quack Hero and Claudio a little bit at the tail end when Claudio was brought on as one of the trainers there, but. And before Quack, I was like studying under like supremely great John Trotsky. He was like one of Pops' guys, WXW Alpha.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we went off to Chikara, and that was when they were in Allentown. Mm-hmm. So which we're from like the Phillipsburg East area, so Allentown for us was 20-25 minutes or whatever. And that was when the class was like Larry Sweeney was there all the time, Icarus, Gran Akuma, Hollow Wicked, Blind Rage. Well, Blind Rage was there, but he wasn't really at training as prevalent as the other guys. Ultra Mantis was there. So those were like the guys that we kind of like started training with. And then when they, moved to Philadelphia, it got a lot harder to consistently be training with them. I would commute down there once I went to Philadelphia, like on Thursday nights, every, when I could, but a 90-minute ride on like a Tuesday night or a Thursday night after work to go train and drive 90 minute back, kind of sucked. And then, Jim actually, Orange, whatever. Yeah. Actually ended up moving down to Philadelphia. So it was way more convenient, for him. So that's why he stuck around there all the time. And I kind of, that's kind of where we started going to like our separate ways almost.
So,
and he kind of took the Fire Ant Chikara gimmick more seriously. And I kind of, branched off and, did my own thing in like CZW and stuff for a while.
Yeah. Now being trained by who you were trained by, when I watch you, I see Quackenbush. I see a lot of his like style in your wrestling. You're more of like you have more of the brawler than he does, I think, but for the most part I see a lot of Quackenbush's style in there.
That's probably because I'm lazy. and then I did death matches for what, like 4 or 5 years, so like the brawling was brawling was kind of a developed trait, having to learn kind of doing death matches on the fly, because I wasn't your conventional like death match guy per se. Mm-hmm. I was taught in lucha and all that shit, American high flying, whatever you want to call it, the Chikara style. So when I was asked to do that, I remember the first time I was actually like scared shitless. It was me, and luckily I got the team with Brain Damage. I didn't have to go against them. A good guy to have on your team. But we were facing Drake Younger and the Necro Butcher.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and Necro's a big, like, throwback guy. So we get there, and I'm used to, like, having all these spots called during the match and, Alita this, and we're going to do that, and blah, blah, blah. And Necro's like, here's the finish. We'll call everything out in the ring. And I'm like, oh, fuck, what? Like, so I kind of learned how to, like, brawl and call and everything, thrown right in the deep end there. But I think it benefited me.
I mean, it's either sink or swim, but you're going to – I mean, it's different in a deathmatch situation, though, right? Because, I mean, obviously it's still wrestling, but – now the calls are probably a little different, I would imagine. Like you use a lot more weapons, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's probably easier, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just because like you don't have to call as much. Like, you can literally go out there. When you see a guy coming out yeah, with a fucking water jug in his hand, you're kind of like, oh, I know what's coming next. Just lower your head and squeeze your jaw, you know?
Now, did you, when you were deathmatch wrestling, did you think that this was where it was going to take you and this was going to be you from now on? Or did you use it as kind of like just a learning experience and you weren't planning on being a deathmatch wrestler for too long?
Well, that's really why I stopped wrestling for like 2 years, because I was getting tired of just put in this corner, like, hey, you're just like a deathmatch wrestler guy. And that seemed to be like the only thing that people, you know, wanted to book me for, to come out and bleed and stuff like that. And I'm like, I like fucking wrestling, dude. Like, let me show that I can do shit and not just go out there and fucking cut myself and, you know, bleed all over the place. I mean, I will, because I'm willing to, but I like wrestling. And going back to who like my favorite wrestlers were growing up, and like I said, you know, we were big into ECW, so like I was a big fan of RVD. I was a big fan of Super Crazy. And then once we started backyard wrestling, we got into like the best of backyard videos. So like M-Dog 20 was like a favorite of mine. And then when he went to CZW, I went and saw him the first time he ever wrestled for CZW, and I got introduced to like Ruckus. So I've Jody Fleisch. So I've always been into like these high flying guys. And that's kind of like the style that I like to emulate, just because that's kind of what got me interested into wrestling. I don't think I'm nearly as talented. I don't think I am nearly as talented as any of those guys, but
you're still good at it.
Yeah, that's what I really have fun doing. Like, is that kind of stuff. And if, I don't know, if you're not having fun anymore, then, you know, I'm not making fucking big bucks like Orange Cassidy. So if I'm not having fun, what am I doing this for then?
Yeah.
You know, I got a real job that I make decent money at and shit. This is kind of, you know, a side gig for me.
Now, what, I'm going to sidetrack us like I do very well. Now, at your, I guess you call it shoot job? Is that what it's called?
Or whatever.
So your work. Now, do they know that you're a professional wrestler as well?
Yeah, I actually just did a show about a mile from where I work last weekend for Synergy Wrestling. Like something like a crazy amount of people from – I work at a gym. And, something like 50 people showed up from the gym to come watch. So that was pretty neat.
That is pretty cool.
To get to, you know, wrestle in front of all of our, you know, friends and stuff like that. Because none of them are real wrestling fans. They were just like, oh, you're wrestling so close, I'll come check you out, you know. None of them are going to fucking travel to Philly or whatever to come see me wrestle, because they're not that interested in wrestling. But, yeah, it was cool for them to come see me in my element and stuff like that. But yeah, they know I'm a wrestler, and my boss is all very cool and lenient. Like, if I got to take off a Friday, or, you know, like if GCW is doing Voltage Lounge on a Wednesday or a Thursday night, he's just like, yeah, whatever, go do your thing. I'll see you tomorrow, you know?
So we're glad you mentioned GCW, because the one match that sticks out, and actually really I really wanted to get you on to talk to you about, was at Halloween show at Voltage, you and Blake Christian, you guys tore the house down. And in our opinion, the best match of the night on that card. It was insane. And that's like those matches where you talk about where you look like you're having fun. You can tell as being in the crowd.
That was a really fun match. I got really fucked up that match, unfortunately. I had to miss my bookings the next like 2 weeks because I couldn't even walk after that. When I took that flip bump off the top through the chair on the outside, I have no idea what I did, but I literally, like, as soon as I got to the back, I collapsed to the floor, and I couldn't even, like, walk. I don't know if I, like, slipped a disc or herniated a disc or what the fuck I did to my back, but for about a week, I was crawling out of bed and in so much pain that it literally took me like half an hour to start my day. I would roll out of bed. I couldn't even sit up out of bed. I was rolling out of bed and then crawling to the shower, and then once I got in the shower and turned the shower on and got like the hot water on me, it kind of loosened up a little bit. Yeah, so that was super shitty. The only reason I think I got through that match was A, the adrenaline, and B, the crowd, because the crowd was so into it that it kind of like kept me up. Otherwise, like I even think if you see after the match, as soon as I get up to walk out, I can't even walk. So I have no idea how I fucking finished that match. I think it's a testament to Blake and how, you know, amazing he is if he hasn't shown that over the past, you know, three, four months since then, because he's just out there doing absolutely insane shit. And, you know, stealing show after show with every card he's on. So, like I said before, it takes two to tango. So he, you know, when you get put in the ring with someone like Blake Christian, if you have a shitty match, that says a lot about you, I think. So I was glad we were able to go out there and put on something good for the people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, are you strictly with GCW? What companies are you with and wrestling for? And for that matter, what's next for you? What do you want to do?
No. And, I mean, Brett really only uses me, like, for the Philly shows. And I think it's just that's just because, you know, we go, like, way back from when we were in CZW together. And he says that GCW just has talent overflowing, like, and they're finding guys that you've never heard of, and they put them on the card, and you're like, who the fuck's this? And then you see him wrestle, and you're like, oh, I see why he's here, you know? They have, like, so much talent that they kind of have, like, guys that they use when they're running, like, certain spots now, because they're running, you know, Philly, Detroit, Atlantic City, all, you know, all over the place. So they have guys they have for just, like, their home shows, and I'm kind of on, like, that short list for the Philly shows, which... good for me, you know. Whenever GCW comes calling, I'll take the call, you know, because they're the hottest independent promotion, you know, in my opinion, right now in the United States. But no, they're not the only other company I'm working for. There's Capital Wrestling right now. They're based out of like Brooklyn, Northern New Jersey. Who I'm in a stable with Casey Navarro and Eric Martin up there, and oh, and Bobby Orlando. And that's that. We do like a fun little heel thing up there, and I don't know. I'm like the old vet with all like these young kids. Cause what's Casey like? I don't even know if Casey's old enough to drink.
Doesn't
and I've been doing this for like 16 years now, 17 years or whatever. He's fucking good. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten a shot in GCW yet. But
we've seen him a bunch whatever. Of times in GCW.
Yeah. Not to spoil anything, but I may be popping up down there again relatively soon.
Spoil away.
And I'll leave that at that. I'll leave that at that. I'm not going to say when and where.
Well, what the hell? How are we going to see?
There's a possibility. Well, yeah, you'll find out.
This is terrible promoting.
Well, nothing's been announced yet. Nothing's set in stone. I literally ran into DJ this weekend, and he was like, when are you coming back? And I'm like, I've been fucking waiting for you to call, dude. And he's like, I've been waiting for you to call me. And it was like, well, now we're talking, so let's figure it out. So we kind of have a date set, but, yeah, I'll wait till it like, gets all announced and stuff like that. And if we can even put it together, we'll see. But if we can, it should be a lot of fun. Where else do I work? Synergy out of Hillsboro. Sometimes I do Pro Wrestling Magic. I'm not really traveling too much right now. But I'm thinking about now, you know, as we're into 2020 and I'm back, like, because I took 2 years off and last year was my first year back. Now that I have like a year back under my belt to start taking more bookings outside the area. Yeah, kind of get back into, you know, doing the loops and stuff like that and traveling. And like I said, I love road trips, so. We'll see. I got a couple of dates lined up here early, you know, 2020. That should be pretty fun. But, yeah, hopefully I can get out there. And I'd love to get up to, like, Canada a few times this year, get out to Ohio if I could get out there. I know was it Unsanctioned Pro just asked me to do a show out there in March, but I'm already booked for the date, so I couldn't get out there. So we're trying to work something out that's Columbus, Ohio, I think. I don't even know. Yeah, we'll see. I'm working right now on, like, a promotional video for me to, like, send out promoters. It kind of sucks taking, like, a couple years off because it's almost like you're starting from scratch again, you know?
You got to reprove yourself?
Yeah, so it's almost like I'm out there trying to remind people who I am, you know? To whereas, like, when I stopped 2 years ago, you know, I was working for, you know, AIW out in Cleveland. I was working for CZW regularly. I was, you know, doing a few. GCW was just starting as a thing, and I was doing some of their stuff. So I was doing, you know, we did IWS that year. So I was doing, like, prominent, you know, promotions and everything. But, you know, when you take time off, it's really hard to just, like, jump back in and, you know, get those bookings back up and, like, yeah, you know, the prominent bookings and everything. Like, sometimes I got to take some bookings that are, you know, wouldn't want to or wouldn't normally, but just because I want to get back out there and get on, you know, get on the road and get my name back out there and, you know, have people, like you said, with the streaming services and everything, just get more eyes on me and have people be like, fuck, like, I've heard of this guy, you know, I just haven't seen him. And now that I have, he's fucking awesome. And let's see him more. And hopefully that happens in 2020.
I mean, yeah, I mean, now's really just the time to be not just, I mean, I'm not talking about, like, the big companies, but now's just the time to be a wrestling fan in general. There's just so much shit out there that, I mean, it's hard not to be a fan of at least one aspect of wrestling.
Well, I just got an independent, what is that, independentwrestling.tv.
Subscription?
Subscription? Yeah. Which I never had before. So I've been, you know how I said I skimmed through matches? You know what I watched the entire show of? That micro wrestling. Fucking loved it.
Yeah, we 2 years ago, we
that
went to
awesome.
One.
That was awesome.
Dude, they put on a hell of a show.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, it was a good show. Like, I started watching it because, you know, I'm like, ah, look at little people wrestling. And then I started watching it. I'm like, holy shit, like, these guys. And then, like, what's his name, Masquerita, fucking Dorado or whatever came out. I'm like, you'll be fucking kidding me. Like, they have really, all the guys are, like, really good. Like, it was fucking awesome. So I'm going to literally watch every single show that they put on. Yeah, I'm trying to get booked. I'm not much taller. I'm not much taller than those guys.
You'd definitely be a heel in that one. You'd be like the ultimate heel.
Yeah, I'd be an awesome face. Yeah. I would totally job for fucking Heavy Metal Mario, whatever his name was.
Hey, man, it might get you noticed. That might get you the heat that you need to be a top name. Look at this asshole beating up the short man.
I think you're onto something.
I'd say I'd be your manager, but I'm probably not that much taller than them either. So we could be...
Perfect. We'll blend in.
Who's that guy that's 5 inches taller than us? Get him out of here.
What the hell were we talking about?
I don't know. Like I said, we sidetrack a lot. I did want to... Is that normal business? Like, I guess the wrestling business is just that far out there that, like, you would expect a promoter to want to get in touch with you to use you, but no, they wait for you to get in touch with them? That's, like, the most backwards way of thinking.
I think if you're a big enough name, they'll get in touch with you. You know, if they think that you can... You know, your name value alone on the sign will put, like, you know, butts in the seats or everything. But I don't know too many people that are going to see, like, oh, shit, Lucky 13, let me go buy a ticket, you know, compared to, you know, other big guys. You know, if you see, hey, Orange Cassidy, you know, people are going to go buy tickets just to go see him. They're not going to necessarily do that with me. To whereas, yeah, I do have to go kind of out of my way to reach out and show interest and be like, hey, you know, whenever you get a spot free, if you got something for me and available, you know, I'd love to work with you. So, yeah, it's kind of the way it goes. When you're not super popular, you got to kind of do a lot of legwork on your own.
Now, how important is it to get on that card for those big marquee names? Like, how important is it to get on the card for the Orange Cassidys or, I don't know, any of the top names in the independent scene right now?
Well, I mean, you got to think, like, a lot of people are, those are the shows that are going to have a lot of eyes on them, right?
Correct.
So that could be, like I said, we were talking about before, about having your big breakout moment where you do something and people finally, you know, recognize who you are. Like, let's just, this Saturday or this past Saturday, my buddy Dan Champion just wrestled Orange Cassidy at Beyond Wrestling. And Dan broke in with me and Jim at the same time. So he's been wrestling for like 16 years. And finally, he gets put on, you know, this Beyond show that's getting streamed all over. And tons of people saw him, and he had this killer match with Orange Cassidy. And, you know, everyone was like, hey, who impressed you the most at Beyond? And if you read, like, the Twitter responses, you know, 75% of people were like, Dan Champion, bring him back, blah, blah, blah. So that was Dan's, like, moment where hopefully he gets the nudge and it leads to, you know, bigger bookings for him. So he's just not doing, like, local PA stuff. And, you know, it leads to him getting his name out there and getting his opportunity. But, I mean, that's kind of what it takes sometimes. It's just getting on the right card and not blowing your chance, taking the ball and running with it.
Yeah, I mean, he did. He had that, like, really, like, great foil to Orange Cassidy. I thought him and then Jake Something, obviously, he was – one that stood out, and of course the rep. Like, I was happy that the rep got on that card because I've seen him a lot. Yeah. I mean, them being local,
feuding with them in Capital Wrestling, as I was saying before, we got to wrestle. We're doing a doors match in Brooklyn against them next month. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't have any of my dates in front of me, so I don't know when I'm booked. Like, I have it all in a calendar. But yeah, no, those guys are fucking awesome. The rep. When I saw them pop up and they were like, yeah, it's about time these guys are fucking getting their shot, you know?
Yeah, they've been,
a good tag team for a while.
Yeah. So,
I might have been like one of their first tag matches, like when they first broke in and got on the main cards of CCW. I might have been like a couple of their first matches back when me and Connor wrestled them a bunch in like a series of tag matches in like 2012, 2013, whatever it was. Yeah,
they're consistently one of the best matches on any CZW card that we've been to.
To be honest, I haven't watched any CZW in 3 years, so I saw the GIFs or whatever that get thrown up on Twitter every now and then, but I've wrestled them for the past 4 months over at Capital Wrestling, so I know they're, you know, I know how awesome they are from experience, and you know, they make me look good, so I like them.
So you said about how you're kind of the veteran and you're just around all these young guys. What's your ultimate goal? I mean, do you like, obviously, more money with a bigger company with a contract? Is that what you're looking for? You're looking for like the real big company, or just whatever you can get as far as making you comfortable?
I wouldn't say no to it if the opportunity arose, obviously. You know, that's a really good question. I haven't really thought about it. Like, why? I think I just, like, why I came back to wrestling was I missed it. I missed having fun, you know. I'm friends with a lot of the guys outside of wrestling, just not like showing up and being, you know, hey, nice to meet you in wrestling. I me and Danny Havoc are really good friends out of the ring. Like, we travel together, do stuff together on weekends. And I made a lot of like friendships and bonds through wrestling. And I just, you know, really missed the atmosphere and missed the boys, and I missed being there. So I wanted to get back into it, but I didn't really have like a goal in mind. Like, I wasn't like, hey, I'm doing this to go get signed, or I'm doing this to, you know, go make it run to try to get booked in Japan or whatever. It's just, it's almost like, you know, I've been doing it. I started backyard wrestling with when I was, you know, 13, 14 years old. So it's just, I'm 35 now. It's just always, you know, more than half my life, it's been a part of me, and it was something I missed. So, yeah. Do I have a goal? I don't know. That's a really good question. But right now I'm just trying to, you know, have fun with it still. And, you know, as long as I'm able, because like I said, I'm 35 now. I don't know how many years I even have left. So.
Yeah. And like.
That's
like
the best answer I can give you. Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, it's all about having fun, but sometimes that gets noticed just as much as being on the card at the right place at the right time. But usually if you're enjoying something, you're doing it better.
Well, I mean, Danny Havoc tells me this all the time, but like I like to think the matches that I'm having now are like way better than the matches I was having when I left, like, you know, 3-4 years ago. Somehow I took 2 years off and didn't wrestle, didn't train, and I came back a better wrestler. I don't know how the fuck that happens, but maybe it was, you know, I was able to sit back and reflect and, you know, see shit and be like, I should be doing this different and this different. Or it could also just be that, you know, the drive's there and the passion's there, and maybe that's just a little more apparent and it shows in my work.
Also, some of the right people being across the ring from you as well.
Yeah, getting to wrestle, you know, Blake Christian and, you know, Jason Kincaid and all these guys really, you know, helps out too, because these are the best guys in the world right now, you know. Blake's going to fucking wrestle Will Ospreay at fucking Spring Break or whatever. That's what they're talking about. I don't know if that's going to happen, but, you know, he's going to be – he's the next fucking echelon of high flyers to take the industry by storm. And, you know, when you put, like, somebody with me in the ring with him, it's a great opportunity for me to show that I can still go with these guys. And I like to think that I do a really good job of making the other guy – look good, if that makes sense. Like Psychosis, if you ever watched like old Psychosis stuff, like go back and you look at old WCW stuff, you're like, oh shit, that match Rey Mysterio had with Psychosis was awesome, or that match Hoovy had with Psychosis was awesome. And every time you see these matches are best of, a lot of them have Psychosis in them, but nobody says like Psychosis was the best wrestler in the match. Everyone's like, yeah, Hoovy did this, Rey did that, but Psychosis made them all fucking look amazing, you know. I like to think I'm kind of like that, where I can go in and kind of make anybody look good. And that's kind of the benefit of having, you know, me go in there with these younger kids too. I get to kind of, I've been, you know, doing different things and calling matches for, you know, like I said, 16 years. So I can kind of rein them in a little bit and throw some, you know, a little added psychology in there or whatever. And, yeah. Like I said, I think the matches I've had since I've came back have been, you know, some of the best I've ever had, and I'm getting the opportunity to wrestle some of the best guys, so it's all working out. So let's hope it leads to bigger and better things, right?
Yes, fingers will be crossed. And probably it's going to be a random question, but probably our last one, and we'll leave it at this. You put out a video the other day, I don't know, a week ago, maybe less than that.
When I started the pre-workout?
Yeah, I was going to say, is this your preferred method of taking a pre-workout supplement and is snorting it?
So Adam Circumstance said something to me on Twitter about taking – I don't remember the exact conversation, but he was like, snort it, you won't. And I was like, I snort it. Believe me, my nose has developed quite a tolerance from being in college, the things I put up it, that I could handle some pre-workout. So I was like, let me give this a shot. Like, and I did it. And I'll tell you what, like, I had the most productive day at work. I'm not lying. Like, I see why the 80s were so successful. Like, I've taken pre-workout before and gone and worked out, but this was like a whole nother level. Like, it was great. Like, it burned for a solid like 2-3 minutes, and then I had this like fruity, snowflakey nasal drip going down the back of my throat, which wasn't, you know, the best. But I was so productive the rest of the day. But yeah, my boss saw the video also, because he follows me on Instagram. He like I said, he's pretty lenient, but he was like, yeah, don't ever do that again.
Do you hear that, kid? If you want a better high, you have to snort your pre-workouts. That's how it's done. Productivity through the roof. Just up the nose a little bit.
Yeah, I was
bit.
Trying to think of like, I was like, what other stuff can I snort? Like, maybe this could be my thing, like superhuman, you know? I'm just the incredible snorting guy.
I don't see the longevity of the gimmick, but I wish you well on your journey.
Yeah, thank you.
Because if you're known as the guy that can snort anything, there's going to be some things that you don't want to snort.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah.
It is the wrestling business.
But yeah, that's weird. That's how that happened. So
I just wanted to get the story out there. I saw it. I laughed. I was like, something I would have fucking done too.
Yeah, and it got like 3,000 views. That's like way more views than when like I put my fucking promos out there for a show. None of you fucks click on it. I start some free workout every month.
Sometimes it's better to just be real.
So before we let you go, if you want to promote yourself, any social media or anything like that.
Meh, whatever.
Like I said, the promotion.
There's my Orange Cassidy. My Orange Cassidy coming out. Yeah. Now, what's my? I don't even know my fucking. My Twitter's at Neo Shooter. NEOSHOOTER. I don't know what the fuck it means. Just like, I don't like why am I at Neo Shooter? My wrestling name's Lucky 13, which by the way, I don't know what it means. I don't know what's a Lucky 13 when you think of the gimmick. I got no fucking clue. Just like my Instagram and my Twitter handle are completely different. My Instagram's at BigWigNJ if you want to follow that, which is actually a punk rock band from the 90s. Has nothing to do with wrestling. Yeah, I don't know. So I'm very poor at promoting myself.
So you're just going to rest on your laurels of having kick-ass matches and say, fuck the promos.
No, you know what? I'm starting to appreciate the promos too, though. Like, I'm starting to like talking to a camera and stuff. So, isn't Twitter supposed to start taking back like handles of people that made like all these fake handles and aren't using them? Because like Lucky 13, like nobody fucking uses, but it's taken. Just fucking give me that.
I heard something like what am I gonna be? February.
Yeah, like at Lucky 13 Pro Wrestling, like that's way too fucking long. You just wasted half your tweet tagging me. Go ahead, go try to figure it out. Like all the cool ones are taken. There's like Lucky 13 Saloon. There's fucking Lucky 13. There's a bar. There's a liquor company. Like it's a fucking stupid name. Like if you ever try vanity searching yourself, well, you don't, but me. Like going on Twitter and trying to look like after my matches to see like if people are saying anything about me. Like it's impossible because fucking people in like the other like Indonesia are like using like, you know, oh, Lucky 13 birthday, and there's pictures of fucking some little Indonesian girl at a birthday party, you know? It's maybe I should just change my name. Change my wrestling name.
I got you. Start it's over. Gonna be at Pre-Snorter.
Yeah. There we go. We got to think of a way to turn that into a gimmick.
I told you, man. I think you already started it. The ball is rolling. It's just going to fucking snowball from here. You're going to be the guy that fucking snorts pre-workout and then does a Ultimate Warrior-style fucking promo.
I'm basically the Ultimate Warrior then, yeah. I don't know why Vince won't sign me. Like, I don't get it.
Well, I mean, it's
what's your gimmick?
Thing.
Oh, I snort drugs and then just run to the ring and go crazy.
I mean, that sounds like it's right up his fucking alley.
Yeah, right. Maybe in the 80s.
Yeah, you're a little bit past your time.
Yeah, but yeah, Twitter's at Neo Shooter, and then my Instagram is at BigWigNJ. So if you want to follow those, I post very irregularly. So every once in a while, you'll see something pop up.
And you may or may not see him in CZW. You may or may not see him on Twitter. You may or may not see him. You're just going to have to fucking look for him. God damn it.
Yeah, you have to go out of your way to find me. But don't vanity search me on Twitter. It's impossible.
because you will get Indonesian kids, and we don't want that.
Yeah, but thanks for having me, guys.
Not a problem. Thank you for coming on with us. Safe trip home.
All right. Thank you. Peace.
See ya.
And there you have it. Like I said, a quote-unquote interview, more like just bullshitting for 40 minutes. But yeah. I think we accomplished the main goal here, and that was to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an emphasis on having fun and wrestling at the same breath.
Yes.
I think we accomplished those. We had fun. We shot the shit. It wasn't all wrestling talk, but it was a derivative of wrestling talk. Boom.
It was wrestling-centric, I would say.
What? It was wrestling-centric?
Yeah.
What?
Like centering on wrestling? Come on, man. Do you even
Did
read?
Did you just come on, man? Me?
Yes.
That was a drop that I don't want to. How do you always put me in these weird predicaments?
Oh, I don't know, but I'm so glad you do it to yourself.
Shut the fuck up. Wrestling-centric. What does that even mean? Something happened this weekend, this past weekend, in the wrestling world, yes. And it will inspire, and it will lift you up. We started on a low, we're ending on a fucking high, and that is Edge is back wrestling in the year 2020. Shut the fuck up, get the fuck out of here. Who the fuck would have thought that was going to happen? I know it was predicted, but you're like, the dude literally has said multiple times that he cannot come back. He's talked to so many different doctors. He can't make it back. I don't know how. I don't know why. I don't really care. He's back. I don't care why. And the people out there, they're saying that he's accepting blood money. Go fuck yourself. I don't want to hear it this time. This isn't Goldberg. This is goddamn Edge. So fuck you. Edge is back. Be happy, you miserable fucks.
So I'm going to kind of play devil's advocate because I've been thinking about this all day.
Okay. All day. I've been thinking about this all day. Wrestling centric. Gay. All day wrestling centric.
You done?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm done. Fucking done. I'm ready for bed.
But, all right, so everyone complains about bringing part-timers back.
I knew you were
going to
go this route.
Back.
But is he that old?
No, he's no, he's not.
Could he have still been doing it? Maybe, I mean, if he was doing it for continuously for 9 more years, maybe not. But he's taken a pretty good hiatus.
True. But, again, no, hold on. Everyone always says that WWE rests on bringing these names back.
But what if he's not a part-timer? What if he's coming back and he's going to...
Oh, I'm not saying he's a part-timer, but you're still relying on older names who have already been stars in your company instead of elevating the younger guys that are not getting the time.
Okay, so in those other, for instances, you're talking Goldberg comes back and wins the title.
Mm-hmm.
Who else are we going to go with? Brock Lesnar, he's more of a part-timer, but when,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm always more hot on Brock than cold. Like, I like seeing Brock Lesnar. I know what Brock Lesnar can do, and he proved it last night. And people say, well, if he was there more often, I don't know if Brock can handle that schedule. I don't know if you get consistency out of Brock if he's doing it that long.
I agree, and I like, and I agree with you. I
but if
love
he comes back
Brock
and puts
Lesnar.
In that effort, then... Yeah, you know what you get when he comes back. You can get excited now for when he comes and actually defends the title. I think this is just a completely different, for instance, for Edge. Like,
you don't think it's a little hypocritical? Just a little bit?
I mean, yes, it is in a sense that, okay, yes, he was an Attitude Era guy that they're bringing back to boost ratings. You can say that, but
mm-hmm.
the guy, there's a certain group that you can get excited for no matter what. And especially if he was medically not supposed to ever be able to do this again.
Yeah.
And this was a genuine surprise. Like, the Goldberg thing, you knew that they were setting up for Brock. Like, this is kind of an open book. This is a dream match scenario. You don't get a dream match with fucking Goldberg. You would have thought it would have been The Undertaker, but no, he dropped him on his fucking head.
Yeah.
And then he concussed himself. This is completely different. This is like... You speaking, like, you know how you have that Shawn Michaels thing, like, okay, Shawn Michaels comes back, who do you want him to work?
Yeah.
There's those same conversations being held about Edge. Like, if Edge were to ever come back, who would you want him to face? Well, now you have it. And you have an Edge that actually looked really, really good.
The shape of his career, I think.
Shape-wise, yes, he looked really good. I mean, he still looked like Father Time hit him in the face, but, I mean, it looks like... I mean, being in the Rumble for what, 15 minutes and being active in the Rumble 15 minutes, 20 mm-hmm. minutes maybe?
Yeah.
He could do it. I mean, you're going to get the same case of where he's not going to be able to – you're not going to run Edge ragged because he's older. You're going to use him for the big marquee dream matches, which is what you should. Like Styles.
Mm-hmm. Although, after last night, doesn't look like that's going to happen. Yeah, but, well, yeah.
Styles might have got hurt, but we're just talking about Edge right now. We're talking about the possibilities that
– I mean,
him to put over or help enhance – younger talent. And I know Styles isn't younger talent, but that's a dream match.
Well, and then like, you have the Orton thing too.
And Orton, that's just a rehash. I mean, that could be one and done. Or they could become a team because that would
bring back Rated RKO.
That would be fun for a little bit.
Nostalgia.
But I mean, if you think of all the people that he's had on his and Christian's show, I mean, all the people that, I mean, the Johnny Gargano, the Adam Coles, the Matt Riddle, the
Fish and O'Reilly,
the plethora of NXT talent that they've had on, and how they have worked with them down at the Performance Center, and they've put their input. This is the ultimate input. You get to get in the ring with Edge.
Yes,
I mean, think of how many people would benefit from that.
A lot.
Everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody.
Anyone on the roster.
I want to see him and Christian versus the Revival.
Yes,
that's what I want to see.
Yep, I agree.
I'm excited. And it's nice to be excited about a WWE event. I mean, it's not to say that you don't, some things don't get you excited, but the Royal Rumble is just tops.
Yeah. It was
and
done
it was nice
right.
to see them do it to near perfection.
Yes. And we had the two winners, Charlotte Flair, which most people really aren't that happy about because it's still Charlotte Flair.
It's Charlotte Flair. I mean, it at this point, Charlotte Flair is what it is. I mean, she's gonna win and she's gonna put on a good match, but it's probably gonna be the same thing. It's probably going to be the same thing you've seen before. It's probably gonna be the same thing you've seen before. I mean, her Becky, her Asuka. I mean, they rest on their laurels when it comes to the women's division.
Yeah,
if they don't feel like they're gonna prove themselves. I know it's a fucked up thing to say, but it's what it seems like. If they don't feel like they can get a smaller name up to that Charlotte level by the time that they need them to, they're going to fall back on what they know, and that's the Four Horsewomen.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if it's Bayley, Sasha, and Becky, Charlotte come WrestleMania time. It's what they know. They know it's going to be, I mean, all four of them against each other have had countless great matches. It's WrestleMania. They're not going to let what happened last year happen this year. So, and I know the women main evented, but I still think that they feel it fell. I mean, it's not all their fault. I mean, they only had to wait 8.5 hours to get to their main event. But, I mean, I feel like they don't think it landed like it should have.
I agree. Yeah, and then the other winner, the men's winner, is Drew McIntyre, which a lot of people on the flip side were extremely happy with.
Yes. They were happy. There was a lot of people that were saying that McIntyre was an odds-on favorite. I mean, with Roman and your pick that didn't even show up.
Which I couldn't be happier for.
It was very, very pleasant surprise that you were wrong. It was a pleasant surprise that I was wrong. But yes. I feel like Roman, and we've talked about this before, maybe not on the show, but I know me and you have spoken this. Roman feels like he's always going to be either the fallback or the go-to. Like, he's always going to be there. He's either going to be there to change it for him to win, or he's going to be there just – or change it for him to lose, or he's going to be there just in case. Like, okay, so what reaction do we want? We know what we're going to get with Roman. We're going to get the boos
because
it's predictable. Do we want that reaction tonight, or do we have faith that the person that's in there with him – is going to get over. They had it with Nakamura. They just didn't do anything with it. Now they have it again with McIntyre.
Yeah, and I mean, we started
you get
this.
You get the Roman rub.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
you eliminated the person that nobody wanted to see win. And you eliminated Brock. You are so pushed right now, and so you've got so much rubbing. That there's only the sky is the limit for him.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing.
They have to back it, though.
You had the spot with Brock to, I won't say pass the torch, but you know what I mean? He gives him that rub. with the elimination, and the fans go crazy.
Brock just decimated, what, 12, 13 people before?
13, yep.
Before he started to slow down. He sped up that. He was the fast forward button on that fucking pay-per-view.
Yes. Yep.
And McIntyre coming in and having some assistance from Ricochet, being able to eliminate Brock, who was dominating the whole fucking match, that was huge. So it's shaping up to be an interesting road to WrestleMania. And it's shaping up to be fucking great wrestling every single week, whether it be the smallest promotion to the fucking juggernaut that is WWE. Wrestling is thriving. If you're complaining about wrestling, then you're watching the wrong type of wrestling. Watch what you like. It's that simple. It boggles my fucking mind. It boggles my mind why people want to be miserable. Why people like to draw from miserableness.
They like to complain.
It's fucking, like, imagine if we were all happy. Imagine if we were all just fucking happy. There's no room for miserable. We'd all just be fucking happy. It's not fucking rocket science. Just be fucking happy. Like it. Stupid. Now you're making me mad. They're making me mad. They didn't even say anything and they're making me mad.
I was going to say, you kind of riled yourself up on that one.
I can't believe it. They used their shit against me. I'm happy. I'm happy.
You sound it. Well, anyway, that'll about wrap up our show.
Hey, wrap it the fuck up, man.
We hope you enjoyed the interview with Lucky 13. We certainly did. And not only that, there's a lot in wrestling going on, as Joe pointed out.
So eloquently.
Yes.
Eloquently.
Yeah, got that?
Nope.
So we hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
Later!